Radio City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Okay, let's catch up with a man who will be the soundtrack to your summer and hopefully will provide you with a smile on your face as well. Clive Tilsley, ITV football commentator. Morning to you, Clive.
Morning. I may need a little bit of help from the England team with the latter.
The soundtrack to your summer. Let's hope it is one of those soundtracks that we're talking about for a few years to come, Clive.
I hope so. You know, club passions, club affections are, you know, they're overriding. They're almost second to family. Obviously, I spent quite a lot of my early career in Merseyside, and I know how important Everton and Liverpool and Tranmere Rovers, whoever you support, are. But and sometimes there's enough scepticism and cynicism about the England team and the underachieving of the England team for people to say, "Oh, I won't be watching it. I can't. I couldn't care less." And it's up to the England team actually to change that. And you know, hopefully in the opening couple of games, you'll see something from this very energetic, very committed, very passionate group of young players. I can tell you from what I know of the inside, there are no cliques in this group. There's no Liverpool and Manchester United tables. They're all pulling together. And if they get a little bit of momentum, I don't think there are too many other squads in the finals to be frightened of.
You've spent time with these individuals, the likes of Jamie Vardy, you've got Harry Kane, the older ones, the Wayne Rooneys, even the Daniel Sturridges. What's their mentality and approach like?
I think they sense there's an opportunity there. You know, for me, Roy Hodgson's been a very underrated England manager. I think he would be the first person to say, yeah, you know, one point from three games at the last World Cup, I'm a little bit fortunate to keep my job in those circumstances. And maybe if there'd been a glaring alternative to Roy 2 years ago, the FA may have moved. But I think they saw the longer story, the bigger picture. And what did happen at the last World Cup finals are the likes of Barkley and Lallana, actually Luke Shaw, who I think would have been in the team if he'd been fit this time. They got a bit of a feel for a tournament. They got a bit of a feel of being together. Steven Gerrard, who was a fantastic captain, moved on. Frank Lampard was an important voice in the camp. And really what Roy needed was somebody to work between him and the rest of the team. And actually, whether he starts or not against Russia, Wayne Rooney's been a terrific captain for him. He's a kind of a 21st century captain. He's not a shouter on a border. He's not Terry Butcher. He's not Tony Adams. He's not that traditional England captain, not Stuart Pearce. But from everything I hear, whenever anybody new comes into the camp, Wayne's the first one to sit down, make them feel welcome, ask them if they've got any issues, what to do, where to come. And as a result, you have got a group without any real egos, without any real problem issues that you can see before the tournament starts. And I think there is a unity of purpose there. You don't get any withdrawals from current England squads. Nobody limps out with a bit of a groin injury. Yeah. Everybody turns up.
You touched on that idea as well, that we're quite harsh on England, aren't we? It's very a different way of supporting than we do with our club sides. And there tends to be a negative sort of viewpoint with England. Maybe that starts in some way through some of the press headlines. I don't know. But are the players unaffected by that?
No, I think they are aware, and I think they will become very aware by the time they arrive in Marseille on whatever it is, June the 11th, of the weight of expectation. You know, I know from our own television viewing figures, which, you know, commercial television lives by how many people tune in. And actually, television viewing figures are a very good democracy because you don't have to watch a particular programme if you don't want. And you name it, Liverpool, Manchester United, any team you'd like, any club side you'd like to, if they're in a Champions League quarterfinal on a terrestrial channel, which sadly they're not at the moment, you'd get maybe 8-9 million people watching a really big club game. If you get a big England club game in season, you'll get 10 or 11 million. In Marseille, for opening night against Russia, it'll probably be about 15 million people. Wow. And the nation does tune in to watch the national team. And I think the disaffection is part of our general disaffection with football. You know, they all earn £5 million a week or whatever it is. They've all got 15 Ferraris. They don't care about the badge anymore. All of that is magnified when the team doesn't play well. Even though it's not true, it's magnified when the team doesn't play well. If this team gets going, as I say, The great thing for me, Steve, is that not only are they young, they're energetic, they're athletic, they press without the ball, they want to attack when they've got the ball. Roy is actually quite an attacking coach. He's got a reputation, perhaps, because he's an old man for being a defensive coach. He's not. He's quite an attacking coach if you look at the teams that he names. Look at the seven defenders he's taking. That's the biggest gamble in his squad, going a defender light in order to try to increase his creative options. So give them a chance. That's what I'd say. You know, tune in on that Saturday night, 8 o'clock kickoff, England versus Russia in Marseille. Give them a chance for 15 minutes. See how they go. And I just feel that, you know, for however triumphal that the nation gets about an England Rugby World Cup win or an England Ashes win, you wait and see the scenes in the country if this England team takes off.
Oh, gosh, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? What are your thoughts on the Everton centre-half pairing and the fact that Jack Ailka's not been included? Stones is, but is extremely unlikely to start or be one of the two centre-halves that starts games. What's your thoughts on that, Clive?
I think Roy is a big admirer of Phil Jack Ailka. He was the England captain in an international less than 6 months ago. He was the one player who was notably dropped from the team after the last World Cup. You know, he started with Jones and Cahill in the opening qualifier 2 years ago, and Jack's found his way back into the team. I think he has suffered with Everton. I think Leighton Baines has suffered with Everton. I don't think you can deny that Everton's travails since the turn of the year have affected their chances of really, really impressing. I think John is always going to be one for the future. You know, John's always going to be in demand because he's an England centre-back who is young and offers something totally different to anything else that we've got. I think it is a gamble, not least because I think Eric Dyer is now so important to the team in midfield. You wouldn't want to take him out of that position. You'd almost have a double problem if you had to use him as a centre-back, even for 20 minutes in a game. Say Smalling got sent off again and you had to move Dyer back, then the midfield would suffer too. So I think it is a gamble, and I think Phil is very, very unlucky indeed. But as I say, I think, you know, you've seen a lot more of Everton. All of your listeners have seen a lot more of Everton than I have this season. But, you know, you think back to that League Cup semi-final against Manchester City, a couple of decisions. Even, you know, getting to an FA Cup semi-final, for all the disappointment in the league, if you'd all been going to Wembley to a League Cup final, if you'd all been going to Wembley to an FA Cup final, then the Everton players, like Jagielka and Baines, might just have benefited a little bit more from a wave of optimism. As it is, I think really they've been sunk with their club side.
Yeah, is the onus then very much on England to be a team that outscores their opposition in this tournament, given that we've seen some of the defensive frailties? You mentioned maybe the lack of the defensive numbers in the squad as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all season long there have been, you know, Ryan Shawcross, Aaron Creswell. You know, every club side has had a suggestion to try to solve all of these England problems. We just actually don't have as many really top-class defenders to choose from, as we do have top-class midfield and attacking players. So, you know, that's the problem that the manager has got. He can't invent defenders. He can't go and sign a defender from Spain. International football doesn't quite work like that. So you've got to compensate in another way. And I think the way that England have tried to compensate is by pressing the ball well when they don't have it. It's a very modern way of playing. We see it in a lot of club sides now. It's going to be a big, big feature of Liverpool going forward. It is a bit more difficult to press like that in Marseille when it's 25 or 26 degrees or whatever it's going to be on that Saturday night. But I think it's England's collective defensive work which is going to have to protect the potential vulnerability of the actual defenders. And it was strange on Friday night to see Leicester City, our champions' leading goal scorer, standing next to his left back when their right back went forward, down by his own corner flag. But, you know, if you're playing in against an adventurous right back, somebody's got to go back with him. And if Roy can find the willingness among the naturally attacking players like Jamie Vardy, who've also got the energy and the commitment to go back and do some work on behalf of the rest of the team, I think that's going to be the key to the way England defend at the tournament.
Do you think Adam Lallana could be something of an unsung hero in this tournament? He's had a pretty decent season.
I promise you, Roy really, really likes Adam Lallana. I mean, if I was second-guessing the team to start the tournament, I wouldn't go very far away from the team that played in Berlin. Mm. And Lallana and Henderson, by the way, also, they were very much a part of that victory that night. And, you know, right now, I mean, he's lost Danny Welbeck since that game. And I think Danny Welbeck is a player who makes 4-3-3 work for England. I'm not sure that they've got a proper replacement for him in that role. His name may even be Wayne Rooney, who knows yet. But if England go that way, if they go with 4-3-3, Adam Lallana can play on the end of the front three. If England go with the midfield diamond, Adam Lallana can play on the side point of one of the two diamonds. And they just feel that he's a player with that technical craft, which is perhaps more applicable in international football than it might be sometimes in the harum-scarum of club football. But he's also a player who, when you look at his running stats, is prepared to put a shift in too. And I think right now he's in the England starting 11. I think Jordan Henderson is in it. I think Nathaniel Clyne is in it. I think there will be a healthy Liverpool contingent in the starting 11 against Russia. Things can change in the two remaining games. Daniel Sturridge will almost certainly get a run out alongside Marcus Rashford on Friday night. That'll be fun to watch, those two together.
Yes.
And maybe Lallana or Rooney behind them. There are one or two options and alternatives. And, you know, I think when England went to Miami 2 years ago before the World Cup, I don't think Raheem Sterling was in the starting 11. But despite his red card in the friendly, I think the momentum that he carried forward from the end of Liverpool's season 2 years ago and carried forward into those pre-tournament games got him in the starting 11 against Manaus. And it can certainly happen to somebody else. It could happen to Daniel. It could happen to anybody if something happens in the two remaining games before the tournament, which really catches the manager's eye.
Let's face it, as a nation, we're massively excited about Kane and Vardy, aren't we? And I mean, the fact that Daniel Sturridge could be kept on the bench by these two says an awful lot and says about actually the options he's got if Roy needs to try and change things as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Daniel must be absolutely fed up with people talking about him as a special case because he has been nursed through the 2 years. You know, he's played one England international since then. He started the last World Cup and he's played one England international since then. I mean, clearly a huge chunk has been taken out of a very important part of his career. And no manager, Jurgen Klopp, Roy Hodgson, can ignore that. But he is now doing everything that everybody else is doing in training. He is now getting up to speed, and hopefully it's happened at a good time for him, because there's no question about it. He gives England something that nobody else in the squad gives them. Mm. Yeah, I think they did have a little look at Jermaine Defoe very late in the day, just as an alternative to somebody who will take that one chance which may decide a game. At the moment, my feeling would be that Daniel would be coming off the bench to take that chance. But if he does that in the first game, he might start the second, you know?
It's hugely exciting. Clive, where are you tipping England to get to in this tournament? And Wales as well?
I think England... I mean, England are the fourth favourites with the bookmakers. And, you know, if you look at the rest of the summer's events, whatever, the Open Championship, Wimbledon, the Derby, the fourth favourites would have a real sporting chance, you know? They'd be a whatever. In a Derby, what, a 10-12-1 shot? You know, you take your chance with whoever the people who set the form think are the fourth favourites. Fourth favourites should get to the semi-final, and I think England are a semi-final team. I think Wales are not a one-man team, but I think that one-man, Gareth Bale, is capable of winning matches almost on his own at this level. And I think Chris Coleman's smart enough to play to that. He sort of plays one up, and then he plays Ramsey and Bale free and says, go on, boys, get the ball to those two, and let's see what they can do with it. And they'll go there with a fantastic amount of spirit too. And they could just embarrass England when they meet in Lons. But, I think if Wales get out of the group, it will be an achievement for them. I think if England get to the semi-finals, then they will have realised our potential. We've always taken good players to tournaments. You know, we know that. We know that from how they performed in the Champions League and in more exciting title races than we had even this season. They, for some reason, it just hasn't gelled and they haven't performed. They haven't realised the potential. I really hope that this squad do that because I think they're exciting and I think they'll take the rest of the nation with them and I think it'll be fun to watch them. So semi-finals for me.
It will. Clive, enjoy your journey across France. With who? Glenn Hoddle? Ian Wright?
Glenn mainly as a co-commentator, yeah. Ian Wright's on board, Lee Dixon's on board. We've got one or two other special guests who are great fun, Manu Petit and Lota Mateus. And others. We've got Andy Townsend's going to be doing the Ireland games with us. We've got Tony Pulis for the Welsh games. We've got a real good crowd, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful job, full stop. But after all the adventures of South African, Ukrainian, and Brazilian hotels and public transport, I am kind of looking forward to a summer in France.
Yeah, slightly shorter journeys as well. And what a wonderful place to start in Marseille. That stadium's very different than when Liverpool played there in the Champions League, 10 years ago or something.
They were still building it there, and I remember that night. Yeah. Liverpool needed to win that night. I remember it very well indeed. Yeah, I actually start on opening night at Parc des Princes. I'm doing the opening game, France versus Romania. And then I'm on a red-eye train down to Marseille the next morning to get ready for England-Russia. I think I do 10 games in the first 16 days. So because it is a big country. But it'll be a pretty hairy run, but we'll have an awful lot of fun. And as I say, it's the best job in the world. And I just hope I just hope there's an upbeat feeling around the place. We're well aware that we're going to have to go through a security check every 100 metres. That's the way it's got to be. We all know that. And anybody who's planning on travelling out there to support England or Wales or Northern Ireland or Republic or whoever who's listening in, you know, that is going to be the way. But 24 nations, there is something about the festival atmosphere of international fans, that international fans created these tournaments, which is actually slightly more joyous, slightly easier to and more comfortable to be around than if you get, you know, 15,000 Scousers in Basel for a Europa League final, you know? I don't know what, there's something about it that there's more sort of families go, you know, people tend to go with grandpa and maybe take a kid or two with them, and it's just more of a festival feel, so I'm really looking forward to all of that.
Clive, have a great tournament. Thanks for your time this morning.
Cheers, Steve.
Take care. Bye-bye. Clive Tilsley, ITV commentator. He'll be the man guiding you through that first game, of course, as England take on Russia in Euro 2016.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.